You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's once again time for our Warning Wednesday feature. This is our consumer awareness feature that we do as often as we can in an effort to help you be aware of the things that are out there in the financial services space, things to be aware of and things to be wary of before you commit your hard-earned money. And once again, I'm joined on the line by the head of enforcement at the Financial Services Conduct Authority, that's Gerard van Deventer, to take a look at some of the developments from the FSCA, but also some warnings and some tips on how to stay safe. Good evening, Gerard. Always lovely to speak to you. It's been a while since we've spoken. Let's start with some of the enforcement updates and the recent warnings. I see there's a couple that have been put out recently.
Yes, good evening, Jimmy and listeners, and thank you very much. Certainly, the feeling is mutual. It's always good to speak with you as well. Yeah, so we did have a few public warnings in the last week. The interesting one is AfriForum Future Trading. Just for interest's sake, there were three or four warnings, and they all have the same pattern that really seems to be high fashion at the moment. And what I'm referring to is the fact that these scammers imitate or impersonate existing entities, most of them actually financial services providers. In this case, if you look at the word, the first one, AfriForum, we all know who they're trying to imitate. I'm sure they're very upset about it. So in this case, AfriForum Future Trading, I think they're hoping to ride on the name. And this is obviously a scam. And they display a certificate and an FSP number, etc. And of course, all of this is false. But the people see the name and it sounds familiar. So I think it brings, unfortunately, then brings some, some comfort into the whole thing. So that's the first one. The second one is IndiBerries. IndiBerries, I-N-D-I Berries and Company. Same story. They claim to be associated with Peter Berry Trust Services, an actual financial services provider, a licensed one. And of course, if you look at what they're doing, there's that unrealistic returns, Jimmy, that you and I have spoken about so many times, and I hope we're going to speak about red flags, because we'll start that conversation with unrealistic returns. So that's something that your listeners must please look out for. They operate on YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook, social media platforms. That seems to be another most definite trend at the moment, and that is that this whole thing has moved to the social media platforms. And we might speak about it again, Jimmy, but the most important point to make here is that any decent investment advisor is not going to operate on social media and make offerings there. That's just not how it's done. Then, Jimmy, the third one there, Fairtree Crowd Capital, they are impersonating or associating themselves with Fairtree Asset Management. That is a legitimate financial services provider. They operate on WhatsApp. Once again, unrealistic returns, excessive returns, to say the least. The WhatsApp group is called Fairtree Crowd Capital. So people must please stay away from that. That is absolutely not the truth. It's not a legitimate entity. And it will only lead to heartache if you commit money there. And then the last one is some lady called Rina Labeshkakhni. Of course, we never know whether that's the real name. But they are impersonating FP Markets. It's also a legitimate financial services provider operating on WhatsApp, and they're soliciting investments from members of the public, promising, I'm sure you would be able to guess, unrealistic and excessive returns. So that's the public warnings for the week. They pretty much, as I say, follow the same pattern. And unfortunately, people have been caught with these scams.
Gerard, let's look at some of the enforcement matters where it relates to administrative penalties. I know there's a couple that have been put out since the Marcus Huerster penalty was announced. And obviously, for some of those out there listening in, they may have dealt with some of the individuals that were or that have incurred administrative penalties.
Yeah, very well. So the latest announcement, if you look at our website, is Novesh and Veracity Markets. So that was a case of, that's actually a regulated entity. But what happened there is those two entities, instead of conducting financial services business, they actually conducted over-the-counter derivative provider business. In other words, they issued the it's usually contracts for difference, it's a derivative product. They issued it instead of just intermediating on it. So you will see some substantial sanctions there and the reorganizing of their business to fix the problem. So that's one of them. So that's something that if our listeners are brave enough to trade on online platforms, in contracts for difference and other derivatives, forex derivatives, crypto derivatives, and so forth, they have to be very careful and make sure that there's an actual derivative provider, in other words, a product provider on the other side. If I can compare it with an insurance product, your financial advisor, your FSP, he's allowed to intermediate. He's allowed to find a policy for you and see to it that you and the insurance company enter into the policy agreement. He's not allowed to issue a policy because for that you need an insurance license. So the same here, an FSP is not allowed to issue an actual contract for difference. He's only allowed to intermediate. That is a bit of a problem, and we see a lot of those cases.
I imagine the FSCA is working hard on those. I know you and I have spoken about the role of the new ODP license and why it was introduced and all of those lovely things around that. Gerard, I want to move to the crypto market. Now that you've mentioned it, cryptos have come into focus. The FSCA is issuing the crypto asset service providers licenses. They've begun to issue that from that perspective. But obviously with new licensing and new products like cryptos comes new threats. What are you seeing from that space that consumers need to be aware of there?
Thanks for that question, Jimmy. I can take 24 hours in a day to warn the public about crypto derivatives and crypto assets. It is a very big issue. So you are absolutely right. We have made it a financial product, crypto itself, in other words, the underlying crypto asset. And that means you now need a license to actually provide crypto asset itself, the actual coin itself, not just the derivative product. And in that instance, of course, we've started quite hectically with the licensing of these crypto providers. We got far in excess of 400 applications. The first set of crypto providers have been approved or rejected. So, you're going to start seeing some licensed crypto providers right now. And on that front, I think the big job for my division, that's enforcement now, is to now find those guys who did not apply for license and who keep on conducting business as a crypto provider. So we've got a few tricks up our sleeves to find them. Some of them is registered as accountable institutions for purposes of FIC. We'll take that list and so forth. So we've kicked off with a list of about 35 investigations. I'm hopeful that not all of them is going to turn out to be unregistered crypto providers, but I'm sure there's going to be some sanctions and findings coming out of that. It's very important that we do this, Jimmy, of course, because, you know, that is our contribution to getting off the grey list. We must show that we can enforce these laws about crypto. So it's a definite priority for the FCA and for my division. The big thing I want to say about crypto, and I'm sure I'm not going to be very popular amongst the crypto providers, it is a legitimate product, and I've got no problem with that. But it must be understood that it is a high-risk product. And Jimmy, that brings into play the very important discussion around suitability. Every FSP must consider suitable how suitable is the product? But I also want to extend that responsibility to our public as well and say, you have to decide what is suitable for you. You cannot take your retirement money and play in a high-risk product. And crypto, it's generally accepted, is a high-risk product. It's only suitable for those guys who have money that they can lose. Such an important point to make.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree with you more there. And while we're looking at some of the enforcement matters, of course, it is important to know that some individuals may have incurred administrative penalties. Some individuals within the remit of financial services may be what's known as debarred individuals. And we'll get into that in another segment, because I think that's also important to note that the types of individuals you're engaging and transacting with also need to carry the requisite licensing and requisite permissions to offer these services. Gerard, I want to look at some ongoing matters. Yesterday, I spoke to a contributor around the developments that are happening with the BHI Trust. And some of the commentary was around the fact that the FSCA sometimes takes a little too long in terms of enforcement and investigations where it relates to some of these matters, and surely this could be sped up. And I said we'd put this forward through to the FSCA just to get your thoughts on and your responses on ongoing matters and the investigations taking time and the reasons behind that.
Thank you, Jimmy. And yes, I must say in all honesty, that is not unfair comment. Investigations take very long. There are so many factors that work in on that, and I'm not going to be defensive about it. I think it's a universal thing that investigations take long, and the enforcement process following the investigation take long, because we live in a country with a constitution where people are never on our side. But, you know, that's okay, because if you're on the wrong side of this discussion, then you would be very happy about things being done properly. So let me just say that we need to do every investigation very, very thoroughly, because you can imagine that many of our cases lead to ruining lives, ruining careers, ruining financial positions, people losing their jobs, people being debarred, licensing being withdrawn, wiping people out financially. These are all the results of some of our investigations. So we have to take it very, very seriously. And unfortunately, we have to corroborate, investigate, interview people, follow the money through the bank accounts, follow the crypto, whatever the case may be. And of course, let me be honest, I could never have a big enough team to investigate all the cases. So yes, it takes long. And in worst case scenario, as we well know, it even leads to suicides. So it takes long. We get there eventually. But let me just say this, that there's quite a few measures I've put in place to try and improve and turn around times. But let me get to your questions, and that is the specifically the BHI investigation. We have completed the investigation against BHI and Mr. Craig Warriner. As your listeners will know, he's been arrested and he will be prosecuted. So that investigation is actually completed. The only part of that investigation that's left is our support to the NPA, to the National Prosecuting Authority. So we've given the undertaking that they will have our full support throughout their trial and their prosecution, because we have the technical expertise to deal with that. And we're always happy to help our colleagues in the prosecuting environment and in the Hawks. So that's that as far as BHI and Craig Warriner is concerned. But that's, of course, not the end of the story for us. In fact, that's kind of a sideline for us, because they were never registered entities. They were never regulated entities, never had a license. Our real focus now is, of course, on those financial advisors that actually place their clients with the BHI Trust. So, yeah, the FSCA is posing the question, did you do a proper due diligence? Did you act with due care when you placed your clients with an unregulated entity, or maybe even an unregistered entity, as we have now found? And that's the second phase of this investigation. And you will know that we started off with global and local, and we've suspended the license. That is public knowledge. So we'll deal with that investigation going forward. But all in all, we have identified seven financial services providers who place clients with BHI, and everyone will be properly investigated. And let me just say right up front, it will take time. We've also put out a media release, and our colleagues or our friends in the media environment was very kind to leapfrog that all over South Africa. And we've asked investors to come to us and report to us if their funds were actually invested in BHI by their financial advisor. And that is how we will pick up future investigations. Not going to say right now that all of this is going to end up in a withdrawal of a license or a debarment. Every case must be looked at on its own merits. But that is where we are. Thank you.
Thank you for that update, Gerard. And I think from our perspective as well, we will also share those details as to how you can get in touch with the FSCA. How can you report things that you feel may need to be reported to the FSCA? I think we'll leave the conversation there. We will definitely keep picking up on these conversations. We have lots to still unpack around this consumer awareness and understanding exactly what it is you're getting into when you are dealing with financial services providers. Thank you so much, as always, for the time, Gerard. That's Gerard van Deventer, Head of Enforcement at the FSCA, joining me this week for our Warning Wednesdays.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.